It's green, it's just not working. It's sitting on go, but it don't want to go nowhere. It's in, what'd you say it was? It just moved. I mean, it ain't going nowhere. He's marking his time. That's what it's doing. It's marking his time. But here's one. All right, this one right here. They said it won't mark its time. Oh. You know, God is good. We know that. Everybody knows that. We get up, we praise God. We wasn't, you know, none of us was guaranteed today. And I heard somebody give some testimony here. And through the grace of God, you know, I mean, through the mercy of God, let me get that right. Through the mercy of God, we were able to be here tonight. And we were able to wake up. I explained to my mother the other day about the difference between grace and mercy and how God put mercy in her life and pulled her out of the pits of hell and how so many of us are grateful that he done that for us. And we love God for this, and we tell him every day that we love him for it. And we go throughout our life and try to live our life as best as we can for him. And as we do these things, God gives us grace. He pours favor on our life. But how many of you know that there's more to it than obtaining grace from God? There's more to it than always wanting favor from God. That there's a sacrifice to be made. That there's more to it than how much God can give you. Amen? Don't get me wrong now. I see a lot of preachers on TV and they tell you how good God is. And we serve a good God. I promise you, God is real good to us. He blesses all of us. Amen? But I'm here to tell you tonight that God is a just God and he's a forgiving God, but there's sacrifices to be made for all of us. Every one of us have to make sacrifices. And these last few weeks of my life, I've learned the thing that I have passed by in my life is being the husband of my home, being the father of my home. Might not think that might be possible for a reverend to tell you that, because he should know that he is the head of the house, that God, that the word says he is, and he should know that there are certain obligations that he should abide in. But I'm telling you, it was slipping away from me. My family just didn't seem like it was my family anymore, and I had to get back to the basics with God. I had to calm down and say, all right, God, what is it you need me to do? And here's what God put on my heart. First, you got to put me first. I said, I know this, Lord. I know this. Why would the Lord tell you to put him first if you know it? I couldn't understand that. You can know something but never show it. You was talking about a testimony. And some people, as when you say I'm a Christian and you look at their life, they don't live a Christian life because the things they do kills their testimony. So maybe I wasn't living the life that I should at home. Think about it. You might live a good life in front of everybody else, but at home, what do? Who are you at home? You know, I can see you out there, and yeah, you look fine. You look nice. All of you got a pretty smile on, nice clothes. But what about home when you're in your work clothes and you're out there in the yard and, you know, you done hit your thumb or something, you done stubbed your toe? What about at home? Who are you? And that's who I had to ask myself. Who was I at home? How was I being the best husband and the best father to my family? And I fell short. I fell short so many times that I tried to please God, and I fell short with this. This was so important to me, because at the young age of 19, I got married and had a child, and I was determined to be the best father, to be the best husband I could be. Never had a dad to say, son, you're doing well. That a boy, son. I never had it in my life, but I was determined to give that to my family. Determined. So this hit home with me. Hit home. So I turned to the next thing with God and said, all right, steer me right, Lord. How many of you know when you you turn your life over to God, you turn right. You're going the right way. And that right way is straight and narrow. That's what I was saying. Turn me right, Lord. And he put me straight in front of my wife. Oh, not this one. Let me start out with my kids. And with your wife in front of you, she knows the ins and outs, the good and the bad. You can't hide nothing. But to have her in front of you and saying, look here, boy, you done open your mouth now. What are you going to do now? Well, you got to tighten up. Here's how you tighten up with God and being a man of the house. First of all, and I want to say this, women today are raised to be strong, vibrant women. And they're raised that to take hold, take the bull by the horns. Go out there and succeed in life. Are you not? Women are made to do that. They're told it. You can do anything a man can do. And yes, you can out in this world. But I'm telling you that God put on my heart with my wife, said, this is a strong, educated woman. You can't just go at her half-hearted. You better go with all you got. So I said to myself, all right, Lord, what are you saying? Well, he said this to me. He said, I know that most men in this world set out and they go out in the world and to provide for their family and they work hard but they miss out at home. They're leaders at work. They're leaders wherever they go. They're business promoters. They do all these things for these different businessmen, and they want people at work to lock them and all these things. But when they get home, it's passive. They might take a shower or relax or whatever they do. The kids would do whatever. There's maybe some of you might still eat at the table. Some of you might not. You know, you gather around the living room and you eat your little dinner in front of the TV. I don't know what you do. But I'm saying, Lord, what do I need to do? I eat my supper at the house. It's something I'm standing firm in. And I believe that that's what all people should do. But you live your life, ever have God directs you. But me, I said, Lord, what am I going to do about this strong, educated woman? She is, I mean, your wife can sometimes put a nail in a coffin on you because she knows you inside out again. She's got you. You got to be good. And I called up on God and I said, God, help me out with this. And I went to the scriptures here. Let me turn to the scripture here. And this right here is what, this is what helped me. Over in Ephesians chapter 5, it says here in 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and he gave himself for her. Christ gave himself to the church. I got to give myself my wife? What do you mean? She already tells me what to do enough. That don't make no sense. I was getting out of this. I thought I was supposed to be the man of the house, Lord. She's supposed to be telling me what to do. He says, sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed himself for the church. You sacrifice yourself for your wife. And skip on down here. Y'all can finish reading this, but I want to jump to 29. It says, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourish, and cherish it just as the Lord does the church. He nourished. What? Nourish your wife? What are you talking about? I nourish my kids. I feed my kids. They're doing fine. I don't need to feed my wife. She can do it herself. Hey, she's a grown woman. But the Bible's saying, yeah, you better. You better. You better make sure she's eating. Well, I can make sure she's eating. That's fine. But is she eating the word of God? Is she feeling her fulfillment in Christ? Is she doing what she's supposed to do? Am I making sure that I know my kids eat, but are my kids eating the word of God? Is my whole family eating the word of God? Are we on one page here? Come on. Are is the whole family working together as Christ says the church is working together? He nourishes the church. He gave himself for the church. Amen. Y'all get where I'm coming from? And here we go here again. It says to cherish. I won't be long. Cherish. Listen to this. Cherish your wife. He cherished the church. Man, cherish my wife. Lord, you just said put you first. I'm confused now. I know, man. I don't understand now. You're first. I'm going to nourish my wife, and I'm going to cherish her. You know, in some translations, that word means to warm, to melt. To melt your, melt my wife, Lord. But listen, it says to warm. Like, let's just think about this. We had my little girl one time. She loves animals. And we had these chickens. And these little chicks would get up under that chicken, you know, where it was warm and toasty. And you stick your hand in there, and that old hen, I smack them fingers, boy. She'd tear you up. Don't mess with them little babies. She was cherishing those babies. She kept those babies warm. And I'm telling you right now, men, it takes a lot to melt your wife now. A hard-working, educated woman, to melt her to meekness, to melt her down to say, all right, I will submit. It takes a lot for that to go on. A woman is not going to submit to a man that's firm like that. Hey, you're going to do what I say. But she will submit herself and love you and pick up with you and walk the end of the world with you if you'll just cherish her. If you would melt her with that love of Christ. If you'll just pull her in and say, honey, I love you. And you soften her up. You know, she likes that. I don't know a woman that don't like a man to put his arms around them. Just wrap all the way around them and say, I love you. He said to do this. I said, Lord, I got it. I can do this, Lord. I needed this word for myself. This is what I needed. When I walked through those doors, I told my wife, I said, I had a great message. I lost it. And then the brother said, it said, Reverend on there, you ain't lose nothing. But what I'm here to tell you tonight is God is wanting us to pick our families up, to stand up before him and say, this is my family. This is who I am, and I represent my family, Lord. You know, Jesus, he died on the cross for that for you. He said, God, I know that person we was talking about mercy water ago. I know that person deserves all to go to hell and the bad things. I know that, but I'm standing here. I'm asking for mercy on them. Well, you stand there before your family and you say, God, I'm here to do my part. Look at me. Don't blame my family. It's your obligation, men. It's your obligation to stand up and say, all right, God, I'm going to make sure my family does everything they can do. I'm going to make sure they read their Bible. I'm going to make sure that they respect their father. I'm going to make sure they respect their mother. I'm going to make sure that wife is melted in love, where she cherishes me as well as I cherish her. And we're going to go together, and we're going to represent Christ, and we're going to lift you up, God, because you are the ultimate one. Amen? It's all about you, God, not about us. My family will represent you in the highest form that we can represent you. Amen? That's what it's about, is giving God praise and loving one another and having compassion on one another and lifting each other up and say, yes, we can. We can make it as a family. No longer is it a husband going out here and get behind a pulpit. When a man gets behind a pulpit, it's not just him. He carries his whole family with him. How can a man get behind here and preach the word of God without looking directly at his family and not know that his truth is coming out? Because if he gets up here and he's speaking something and it's a lie, he got it right back at him. His wife is going, no, you don't treat me that way at home. His kids are going, no, that's not you at home. I need you to be all you can be. You're not hiding nothing. You're not fooling nobody. Don't be blinded. Don't be blinded. Wake up. See that God loves you. And yes, he died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And yes, you have that mercy. But yes, you have sacrifices you have to make. Those sacrifices will get you further in this world than anything in this world anybody can possibly give you.
sacrifices for God, sacrifices for your family, means the world when you get behind a pulpit. Trust me, when you sacrifice yourself before you come in that church, and you said, I'm ready. I'm ready, whatever you need me to do, God. Whether it's for praise for somebody or for someone else to have a blessing, I'm ready. Use me, God. I am here for you. How many of you can do that? How many of you look yourself in the face every morning and say, I love you, God. You are somebody in God, Christ that loves you. You're going to go out and you're going to win the world. How many of you build yourself up to go out there and fight the good fight every day? How many? And then you come home and your home is all running crazy. Your kids are going everywhere. Your wife is going, oh my God, I got all the housework to do. I got to go to work and do all of these things. What do you do for me? I can't get my kids to do anything. Why not? You can if you stop and you say, kids, here's what daddy does. You can do it. I was told as a kid, you do as I say, or do as I say, not as I do. Cop out. That is a cop out. Cop out. If you can't walk the walk and talk the talk, like the brother was saying of being a Christian, then why do you represent yourself as a godly person? Why do you tell your kids and your wife that you have to do these things? We all got to come to God. We all have to make sacrifices for God. So we, as the holy nation of Israel, can stand up before God and say, we've done our part, God. We love you, God. We will always love you, God. My family is your family, God. I give them to you. I don't own this family, Lord. It's all you. Everything is for you. When we can do that, when we can hold our families up and be proud, proud husbands, proud fathers, proud mothers. When we can stand up proud, when our kids are proud, say, that's my daddy, that's my mama, you know you're doing something right. When the kid stands up and say, God loves me because I know it, and God loves my dad, God loves my mom, God loves my brother, my sister, when they can go out in the world and face the world with that kind of love, you know you've done your part. So I'm asking you tonight, are you going to let me step down and walk away from you with deaf ears on you? Or are you going to listen to what I had to say tonight and stand up and say, I'm going to do my part for God. I'm going to take back control of my family if it slipped away. I'm going to hold my wife. I'm going to cherish her like God, like Jesus cherished the church. Are you? Are you? Are you going to get your family back in order? Are you? Maybe just one of you. The rest of you got all your family right where you like it. I know. Just one of you. Maybe it was just me. I don't know. But I praise God. I praise God that I woke up. I thank God that I woke up. And he gave me this message for me. And I hope this message has touched you. And thank you. Thank y'all very much.
Yeah. Praise God. Brother Talley was mentioned about mingling. I appreciate y'all being here and mingling your wine with us, brother. And I'll tell you what, I'll say this. No, that message just wasn't for you. I appreciated it very much. And it, sometimes you know the things in your mind, you have a knowledge of it, but whenever someone else will come across with it, and then you start going, ooh, oh, all right, Lord, he's getting a little too close for me. Put that sword up, brother. Come on. You're starting to cut a little bit off me here. I can say that it right up my alley, and I appreciate it very much. I wanted to get up tonight and say what a privilege and honor it is to be amongst God's people, to feel this wonderful covering, to be able to hear the wonderful words of God come over this pulpit. It's a blessing, and I don't want to take that for granted. I wanted to get up because a week from last Wednesday, I had got up and I had spoken some faith on some things and it had given my heart a little bit. Well, you know, I wanted to get up and give part two. I wanted to get up and say, a funny thing happened to me on the way to work this morning. It wasn't this morning, but I'm just saying, it's interesting how God really works in our life. When I let him, when I let God, when I say, all right, Lord, here are the reins, Lord. I'm tired of taking them from you. Here's the reins, God. You know more than I. You can take me much further than I could. I have to depend upon you. I told you that my family, we'd been just having different struggles, and there were certain things that were weighing heavy on us, and I believe that there was something that God was doing and was moving in a certain way to help us overcome certain obstacles. Well, a lot of it was related to the job situation. Things have gotten, let's just say, more challenging with my job. I still have a very good job. I believe now more than ever that God truly gave me that job. And through this experience that I've been through, God has really brought it back to my remembrance. You know, like I spoke of before, a lot of times, I can speak for myself, we'll be on a path in this life, and all of a sudden we get that narrow focus, and we have that tunnel vision, and we forget the things that have happened before. We forget the experiences that have helped to give us the strength that we have to be able to go through these things in life. And that's what I had done, is I've forgotten a lot of the blessings that God has given me. I've forgotten a lot of the things that God has done to build me up, to lift me up to where I can stand up here and lift up his name. He's done so much for me. But sometimes as a spoiled child, I forget it. I take it for granted. Or I say, Lord, more, more, more. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And I just want to be thankful for what God has done for me. And so if anything, that's what this has done. I had an opportunity that Wednesday, actually, before I came to church, I was in about, it was almost a two-hour interview. Excuse me. And it was with a company that everything that I was hearing, and I did not go seek for this employment. I didn't put a resume out. I didn't do anything. But everything kept coming to me. So I my entire time that I was praying and I was talking to my wife, Jennifer, and we were talking to others, it was just, you know, God's will. I want God's will. Now, here's something that I've really, you know, like I said, it's one of those things where you know, but sometimes you can get more conviction on things whenever God does help you through experiences. I prayed that prayer, Sister Tally. Let me tell you, I was praying, your will in this, Lord, your will. At least my lips were quite well. They were saying that very, your will, Lord, in this situation. I don't want this job, Lord, if it's not you. Now, I was saying that. Let me tell you, though, in my heart, I started desiring that. I started saying, ooh, boy, but look at if I can get that job. Look at these things. Look at this. And, I mean, I was just, that job then started to take precedent as far as I was still praying outwardly, I want your will, Lord. But inwardly, I was saying, hey, Lord, if you could find it in your will to let that job be mine, that'd be cool too. You know, I was praying still, Lord, I want your will. I don't want anything to get in my way with my relationship with you, God. If it's not good for my family, if it's not good for me spiritually, anything, Lord, please don't let me get that job. Don't let me get that job. Well, So the interview went very, very, very good. And then Friday, that was actually the second interview I'd been on. And then Friday, I was able to speak with that person again and tells me, you know, basically I said, well, I'd like to know how my qualifications stacked up in relation to the position. And this sales manager, he says, well, he said, let me tell you, I came in here, I interviewed five people. He said, you and one other guy are the top of my list, or you and one of my other guy are the ones that have gone so far. And quite frankly, you're the top of my list. And he started saying some things. And I was thinking, well, sounds like God's will's coming through. All right. All righty. Ready to go now. Well, he said, okay. Well, I said, well, what do I need to do? And he said, well, don't worry about anything. He said, what I'm going to do, I'm going back to the home office. I'm going to speak with the owner and I'll talk with him. And next thing you know, I'll get back. I will get back with you Monday. Probably late in the day. I said, okay, all right, well, I'll talk to you then. All right. And that was that. So over the weekend, you know, I'll just confess my own heart on this. Once again, at first I was like, I really feel good about that. And, you know, I still, in my mind, was praying, okay, Lord, more like this, though. Your will be done, Lord. No, really, Lord, your will be done. You know, I didn't want God to quite hear that anymore because I wanted more of my will was coming into it, more of the thought of what could be or how this might bless my family and God, it'll bless the church because that's more tithe, Lord, you know, and I was going through all those things in my mind. Well, Monday morning comes as it often does, and I was at work, and let me tell you, my mind, I was at my job physically, mentally, I'm thinking, okay, well, my phone hasn't rang yet. I haven't felt it, you know, and so I'm checking it. No, nothing's going on yet. Okay, it's okay. It's only 8:15. You know, he's got all day, right? So, meanwhile, I'm continually checking my phone and waiting. And then the hours go by, lunchtime, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock. But this time, I'm still thinking, well, you know, He knows I have a job right now. He's being respectful and, you know, all that going on. 6 o'clock, 6:15, 6:16. I mean, that's what it became. You know, it was like, wow, my watch working. Finally, God started really working with me, started talking to me a little bit. And that's when the realization started coming to me a little bit more about your will, Lord, your will, not my will. I thought, you know, because here's the thing, and I thank him. I thank him so much for having that in my heart of, I don't know. I can't be the man I need to be without him, without his mercy, without his grace, without his love. I'm nothing. I deserve death, but it's only by God. It's only by the Holy Ghost that's in my, that he's given me that I can move forward in him. And so, I was talking with my wife and was letting her know, you know what? No, you know, I this has happened before. This type of experience almost exactly has happened before. And it, God really started working with me in that experience. Well, the next day, that night, honestly, as I was really trying to seek God about it, because I had realized in my heart, Lord, I know I might have been praying your will, but I quit believing your will. I started really wanted the job now. I didn't really care about your will, Lord, because if I cared about your will, when I didn't get that call, I would understand that's God's will. The thing is, God answered my prayer. God answered my prayer. He had his will in my life. It's just, I didn't want it. I thought, oh, but Lord, are you serious? Come on, this is the way we're supposed to go. Not the right at Albuquerque, we're taking a left. But God knows more than I. God knows more about what could go on with that. I don't know. And the thing is, he started working with me and showing me things, bringing to remembrance things that I had not thought about in a long time. Started helping me remember about how I had even gotten the job that I have now. Some, you know, 8.5 years back. Started taking me back down that road in my mind, and I started realizing, God, you look at that, you know. And in the book of Esther, it never mentions God or the Lord or anything about him. But if when you read that book, do you not? It's just like you read God into it. You know what I'm saying? It's like you see his name there, even though it's not written in the book. I heard a minister once say, Esther is what it is God had a glove on. And his hand was all in it, but the glove was there. That's why you don't see anything like that, but he's ever present. Well, this is one of those times God was trying to show me, son, I've taken care of you. You're fine now. You don't need to worry about things. What you need to do is get back to that thankfulness, that back to that appreciation. And then I started relating that to my relationship with my wife. And I started saying, God, how much have I taken for granted in my life? How much have I said, God, I'm a spoiled child. I just want more. I just want more. I'm not worried about it. I just, God, give me. And I repented to him and said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for that heart, Lord. Forgive me for being that way. I want to be appreciative. I want to be thankful for what I've been given. God has done so much for me and my family. It took me back, even through this experience, it took me back to start thinking a little bit about history in relation to my family. You know, we're saved. God has that, deals with this individually. And I don't put as far as everything into necessarily, you know, okay, well, your mom's here. Well, you're good to go. No. God deals with, I had to get a vision myself. God had to work with me. I can't ride on my mom and dad's coattail when they're in church. Someday I have to make a conscious decision about that. Well, but I started thinking, though, about going back on my history and seeing how others in my family, how I had the opportunity to get here. I started thinking about Brother Tucker. I started thinking about, this was a farm boy, as rough as the day is long, the way, and I don't know if some of you heard the story, but basically he was going in to, this is how rough he was, all right? He was going into a revival tent with rocks in his pocket to beat this guy up, okay? He was going, not the minister, now he wasn't that bad, but there was some guy that had done something. I don't know. Do you ever remember what the argument's about? You know, especially not with your wife. I know it's always my fault. I do know that. I've been married long enough. Yes, dear, it's my fault. I love you. I know those are very important phrases. But he went in there to this tent to beat this man up. I mean, with rocks in his pocket. He's not. What's he gonna? He's gonna give him the man. He's gonna throw him or hit him with them. And was in there, and God convicted him in that tent. He gave his life to God in that tent. And, I mean, you know, think about that. I mean, Brother Tucker wasn't seeking God that day. But God said, no, boy, I got a different plan for you. And it was because of that. And then, let me tell you something. And Sister Weiniger can speak to this, her excluded, of course. But we have some very stubborn people in our family, okay? She, like I said, she's exclusion. For him to be able to talk to my grandmother, and to get her to see this way, that was bigger than Moses and the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. Okay, that was huge. Because she, let me tell you, if you didn't get it across to her, she ain't buying it. It's just like, whatever. You know, just to be stubborn. I don't care if it is gold. I don't want it. But God. God was bigger than that mountain. Don't tell me about that mountain. I'll tell you about my God. God dealt with her heart. And that eventually ended up bringing our family in this. And then I thought about my mom, and I thought about my grandfather Valdez, how God had, you know, it shown him this way, and how mom had been brought to this people, and then even how he had lost his way and went out and did different things, but then at the end of his life, I mean, like, maybe he had, I don't know, came back to church about, was it maybe a year before he passed, but he came back. He made everything right with God. He repented to those that had been around that he had hurt and was setting, and got his life back on that rock, back established on that rock before he passed away. And I was just trying to remember those things and say, God, I have a wonderful heritage. You've done so much for me, and I want to appreciate that. And this experience took me back to those landmarks in my life. And I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your will in my life, Lord. And now I understand more so when I pray that, you know, God answered my prayer. That's just it. God answered my prayer. I had a prayer, and that's what I was wanting to relate to in today is we've been talking about faith, and Brother Mike Smith was going over in 2 Peter about the add to your faith virtue and your virtue knowledge, temperance, and those steps of getting closer to God. I was thinking about that. God, you're helping me to build a stronger faith in you, to know that when things don't make sense, when there are storms and trials and tests, God didn't rain money down from heaven. The same problems are still there that were there before. But my faith is that much stronger. My faith, now, you know what, Lord? Granted, whatever does come my way, thank you, because I know you're holding my hand. I know I can follow you through the storms, Lord, because I need to grow. I need to be able to, you know, every time, if every time my children even, when they were learning to walk, if I continually held their hand all the time. Now, I'm going to use this a little bit different analogy, but if I held their hand all the time, you know, they wouldn't have learned to walk by themselves. With God, it's a little different in the aspect of He's taking me through the storms. He's not, if he every time, he just would take the storm away. Every time there was a little bit of a problem, he just solved it for me. And I never got a chance to grow. I never got a chance to mature in him. Then what, however else could I help my brother and sister? If when they're going through a trial or a test, well, if I just say, well, I don't know, I've never been through anything. Can't help you. So sorry, it's you. That's not the kind of attitude I need to have. I need to have the attitude of, you know what? I know this. I know I can call on God. I know I can bend my knees for you. I can, as Brother Walker had said today, you know, I can put some feet on this prayer. I can put some wings on this prayer. What can I do to, you know, how can I be there for my brother and sister? So I just wanted to get up tonight and I wanted to say, you know what? I said before God was going to answer my prayer. I get up, God answered my prayer, and I want to give him praise. I want to give him thanks for that. God's taking care of his children. When we have a need, you know what? It may not be the answer I was looking for, but God answered my prayer, and God is taking care of my family. And like I said again, brother, I appreciate your words so much because so often, you know, I know when I first got married, I was that one guy that you were talking about. It was, bless God, I'm the man of the house, and you're going to listen, you know. And she said, bless God, make me, you know. And, you know, and meanwhile, almost 10 years later, my back's hurting now. I've learned a little bit more wisdom. But I want to say I appreciate my wife, and I want to learn to nourish and cherish her. Those were beautiful words right there. Let me tell you, it's one thing to read these words. It's another thing to really, when they start to hit in the heart and you go, oh, that's it. That's it. That's that key. That's that answer, Lord, that I've been looking for. So I just wanted to get up and raise my voice tonight and say, I appreciate this church. I appreciate to be able to come here. I appreciate to be able to rub together. You know, that was the thing I was all thinking about is, you were helping to sharpen my sword tonight. When I'm hearing the different ones, and I'm just going to throw over here to you, Sister Dolores. You know, it's so funny. You know, you were making me feel like, you know, you're, oh, well, we haven't practiced this at all. I don't know if we can do this. And then you get up there, and you're like singing like an angel or something. You know, it's like, whatever. I get up there, and y'all are like, oh, throw the boot at the cat, you know, get it off the fence. And she's over there, ooh, you know. And anyway, I'm just saying, it's wonderful to get together with God's people, and I'm very blessed to be a part of this family.
There's nothing in this world that ever take the place of God's love. Silver and gold can never buy His love from above. Oh, when my soul needs healing and I begin feeling nothing for my journey now. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Even though the devil tempts me and he tries to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, the worldly fame. If I would, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I started out traveling for the Lord many years ago. I've had a lot of heartaches, I met a lot of grief and woe. Oh, when I would stumble, then I'd humble down. And there I would say, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Even though the devil tempts me and he tries to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, early fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow, even though the devil tempts me and he tries to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, the worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Well, there's nothing in the world that'll ever take the place of God's love. Silver and gold can never buy some love from above. Oh, when my soul needs healing and I begin feeling his power, I can say, thank the Lord, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. God, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me and he tries to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. And though the devil tempts me and he tries to turn me around, he's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me and he tries to turn me around. Well, he's offered everything and that's got a name, all the wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Well, I've enjoyed this service. I appreciate the good words of Brother Blaylock, and I'm working on that too. I found it's not hard for a woman to submit herself to a man that loves her as much as Christ did the church. It's just finding that man and getting that love down in your heart. I'm still working on it. You can ask my wife. I'm not there yet. Stumble sometimes and fall, but I get up and try to do the right thing. I really do appreciate all of our visitors here tonight. And Sister Brooklyn was wanting to sing. Do y'all feel like one more song before we go home? Look, we're not going to have church Wednesday. Brother Smith's already said he's going to turn church out Wednesday. So a lot of people are going to be on the road, going to different places. For come on up, Sister Brooklyn, getting ready for Thanksgiving and traveling the road. So if we go over a few minutes, then that'll be okay. We won't be meeting again Wednesday, but Bible study, our pastor will be back. Brother and Sister Smith will be back this weekend. They're down in Florida. This church does a lot of mission work. We're heavily involved in mission work in the Dominican Republic and Haiti. So he's down there at some Dominican churches, but he'll be back. We want you to come back and meet him. I know you've been here one other time before, haven't you, Brother Walker? Yeah, and I don't think he was here then, was he? No, so you missed him. We do have a pastor. You come back next week, and you'll get to meet him, and we'd love for him to meet y'all, bring your whole family. Don't we appreciate our visitors tonight? Hallelujah. All right, so Sister Brooklyn, are you ready? Now, she sent a note up saying she wanted to sing. Signed, Sister Brooklyn. Oh, and Spencer's going to sing also. All right. Okay, all right.
You need a microphone, Brooklyn, right behind you.
I appreciate our young people. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
What can I give him for all?
much for today.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
We ask you, Lord, that you would cover our
souls.
Yes. Hallelujah. Go with each one of us, God.
Go with
us. Lead us, guide us, let us do that.
Yeah.
City on a hill.